Our reading this morning is a Psalm of David, 26. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly doers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul, sinners, with my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Did Dorothy read? Yeah. There you are. How did you feel reading that? Brilliant. So that's because I did the morning service. The person that read there said the same thing. We prayed, so let's have a look at this. But this psalm, it's a little bit shocking. How many of you, and if you had to read one verse out, something happened at work and your boss or someone said to your staff or to other people, this is not the psalm you're going to choose. I don't know. How comfortable do you think? Do you think you could say the psalm? Psalms, normally we go, just a few beforehand. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, that's a good psalm I can say for myself. But this one sounds absolutely arrogant. It sounds a little bit shocking. And if you glance up at, it says, of David, which is part of the original text, the psalms are songs written by various people, a lot of them by David. Some of you might know that David's life wasn't all that clean. And how could David say this? It's a lot less, but I'm sure you've heard on the news with our whole lockdown situation, some minister coming up and some next, they've broken the rules. This happened all over, from hugging people that aren't his wife or something like that, to just going on trips. And sometimes I thought, ew. They're taking it a little bit seriously. Other times it's great that people hold people to account. But people love it when someone is exposed for saying something and they turn out to be hypocrites. And it looks like this is the psalm. Have you ever had someone say to you, you call yourself a Christian, but I've sinned? Maybe you're much better than me. I remember first becoming Christian, my sister saying to me in a fight, you're the reason I go to church. If the minister could see you now, look at you. And thankfully, my sister is a Christian through God's grace now, and despite my witness. But it really looks like you're setting yourself up to fail when he says, vindicate me, O Lord, I have led a blameless life. Let me say to you, first and foremost, this is a psalm you can say, but bear with me. First of all, we're going to see there's a psalm prayed by a king, but later on we'll see it's a psalm fulfilled by the true king, Jesus, and it's a psalm to pray to God because we trust in Jesus. So let's have a look. First of all, we'll see the psalm, it starts off with looking at the past and then looking towards the future. So that's the way we're going to try and tackle it. What has gone in the past? And we look at the future. So first of all, let's just have a look. He says, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. Now, as I said, we would feel uncomfortable saying this. Our family could probably say we definitely shouldn't say this. But even David, we know the scandal. By the way, if you don't know the scandal, David is the guy that was a young boy, and God sent a prophet to anoint him king, and he was told that later on he'd be king. And that's why David later on could go into battle, fight a guy called Goliath, a massive guy, because he trusted that God's promise would happen. He knew that God was going to make him king, so he would keep him safe during that time. And then David then went on to become a great king, one of the best kings, but there was a scandal that touched his life. And whether the psalm was after, or even was before, it was edited and put together afterwards. And so if I was compiling something, well, let's just cover this one up, because there's some indiscretion. David, what he did was, he had an affair, married woman, while her husband was off at war. And then this, when he found out that this woman was pregnant, he got the husband to come home, hoping that they would, how would I put this delicately, comfort one another after their time of absence. He was integrity and just said, no, I'm not going back to my wife. I'm going to sleep at the gates because my fellow soldiers are out in battle. And so that didn't work. And then so David shockingly said, okay, put them on the front lines and then just withdraw your men. Murder battle, really, basically. He put them off. And if you want, David does. And that can be found in Psalm 53. And so blameless is different from sinless. I think if you want to put it this way, if someone has admitted some scandal or guilt or admitted wrongdoing, you can't no longer put blame. They said, yes, I acknowledge I've done that. I have messed up. And so he eventually did repent of that. So let's just be a little bit kind and say blameless. He can say, at the very least, he strived to follow God. But we'll see that he did for another reason. What he's saying is, God, look back at my life, and I'm inviting you to look back. I've strived to be faithful. Test me, verse 2, O Lord, and try me to examine my heart and my mind. Quite a prayer to ask, but he's saying, look at me, I've strived. Verse 3, for your love is ever before me, and I will continue in your truth. He's saying, I've strived to live a life of integrity in the past. But see, first of all, why this psalm is not, let's say, false or not realistic, it does acknowledge sin. And so have a look at what he says later on. So he says, look back at my past, now test me, and then look at my public life in verses 5 to 6, and then look at my private spiritual life. So in 5 to 6, he says, he abhors the assembly of evildoers, he refuses to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about to your altar, O Lord. I think he's not saying he's a snob that just walks away from people that are sinful. The thing is, he's not, can you imagine in a political position, there's always corruption. Power corrupts absolutely. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so it would be, and I'm sure it happens nowadays with politics and whatever position. And he's saying he strives to keep himself separate from that. It's acknowledging that he's tried to be a man of it. And then also you see verses 6 and 7 as he talks about a spiritual life. 7, proclaiming aloud your praise, telling of your wonderful deeds. Verse 8, I love the house where you live, O Lord. So he's strived to be a person of integrity. He's failed, but he's strived to be a person of integrity, and he's acknowledged sin. So he said all that. Look at the past integrity. This is what I've strived to do. I've done my best. And then here comes his request in verse 9. Do not take away my soul along with sinners. See, so first of all, he's acknowledged that there's sin. And he's frightened that he might just be, as God looks on humanity who have messed up, that he might be lumped in with them. When I grew up, there was a TV and radio shop on the corner. And so if there was a problem, we'd take our TV in, get it fixed, radio, get some part replaced. And nowadays it seems that components, you just have to throw the whole thing away. If you ever go to, you see all the TVs lined up, something's gone wrong, and it doesn't work. You know what I'm talking about? See that? And it looks like he's saying here, look, don't throw me away with the whole thing. I don't want to be caught up on it. What we want to just get, this psalm is saying I'm blameless. It's also saying that sin is real. And it's dangerous. And so one thing to take away from this, we need to acknowledge that sin is prevalent. It's in our world. And maybe we washed with it all the time. Things that people thought 20 years ago were shocking, now it seems socially acceptable. We're not judging people. We're just saying that we need to be aware that we can get lured and take sin for granted. You only need to look at a comedy, maybe that was a sitcom or something that was written 10 years ago, and you're watching and you go, there's no way people would get away with that now. I'm not saying that to make any judgment. I'm saying that the time is shifting. Moral opinion is always shifting. And with its biblical opinion, it's just there. And we want to acknowledge that sin is real. We want to acknowledge as Christians that we need to take it seriously and not take it for granted. We need to remember that we're at war. The Bible, they are God's people and they are enemies of God's people. And we want to be like Jesus, gentle, but we want to have integrity. We also want to make sure that we don't trust ourselves. You know, always realize that we're probably at fault in something. Not take granted. There was a volcano that had been dormant for 100 years. And, over the 100 years, the village eventually kept around it, crept closer and closer to the volcano until it erupted. And one of the villagers said, we had stopped thinking as a volcano. You know, we thought of it as a mountain. But a volcano is always a volcano. And our hearts are always sinful. All of us, I'm not judging anyone, we all mess up. We all are prone to it. And so we want to take sin seriously, whether it's in our private life, public life, we are in danger of being taken away by sin. But the psalm is taking sin seriously, but then acknowledges something that's scandalous, God's grace. Very least, the psalm saying, be on your guard. You all know probably what kicked off World War I. Archduke Ferdinand assassination, and might not know all the ins and outs of it. He gets assassinated, sparks off World War I. One technically sparks off World War II, because things aren't dealt with. But the Archduke had an option on that day that he went to the... parade, he dismissed all the security officers and had a light security detail of just police officers. See, if he had been more on his guard, he might not have stopped World War I and II, but he might have postponed it. And so this is saying just always be on your guard about sin. But it's not a wagging finger. It's saying sin is real, walk with integrity, but realize that the Christian can say they're blameless. So let's have a look at how does this get you. Again, he says in verse 11, but I let a redeem me and be merciful to me. So he's not demanding. He's saying, look, I've strived to be faithful. Redeem me, save me, and be merciful to me. In verse 12, he says, my feet stand on level ground. In the great assembly, I'll praise the Lord. So there's two assemblies going on. There's the assembly of Christians or believers, and there's assembly of those against God. And he's saying, that's where I want to stand, and it's level ground. It's secure. It's not rickety. I won't fall over. So, how do you pray this psalm? How does David have the chance to pray this psalm? We can try and work around certain words, but it still makes us feel uncomfortable. Who's the one person you think could absolutely pray the psalm without fear or any scandal coming out? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see psalms often are written by a person, but they're pointing to Jesus, and then they are, because of that, we can take them through the cross, the prism of the cross, to pray them ourselves. So we can't take them directly all the time, but we can take them that way. Jesus was always blameless before God. He was friends with sinners, but he wasn't corrupted by sin. He followed God and was obedient to him. He said, even to the point of the cross, which terrified him, because he was going to be ripped apart from God the Father, the perfect relationship for creation. He'd be ripped apart. He'd have God turn his back on him. He'd have the sin of the world being poured on him. every single sin that ever has been done and will be done of the universe poured onto Jesus, and he would take that sin upon himself. And he said, before going there, he would say, and he said, God, not my will, but yours, for Heavenly Father. They had a plan, and he was sinless. And we believe as Christians that that means that we can be sinless. One theologian called it the sweet exchange, which sounds like he's sweet, man, it's a sweet exchange. And what it is on the cross, we get our sin dealt with. Now, I've understood that, so I thought, okay, great. You know, I've done quite a few wrong things, and a lot of them maybe I don't even know that they're wrong. So I ask God for forgiveness, and the table gets cleared. It gets all accounts, the debt gets wiped out, and it's zero. But that's not what that's to only go halfway. We're told on the cross we get imputed righteousness. I don't know, just imagine like being injected into us. And imagine if you've got a file, all the things that you've done wrong. Hopefully your spouse hasn't, or your parents haven't kept one. But imagine a file just piling up. And let's try and be kind. Let's think of it in traffic offenses. Let's say you sin 3 times a day. That's 3 a day, 1,000 a year. I don't know. So let's take an average age. Just say you live to 75, 80, or whatever the age. That's 80,000 traffic. If we put 80,000 sins, or imagine them as 80,000 traffic offenses, do you think you'd be able to keep your license with 80,000 traffic offenses? And we're talking about small things. You rolled your eyes at your parents when you were young. You got angry with someone driving, and you swore underneath your breath. Imagine someone like that, and that's 80,000. I'm sure my file would be a lot fatter. And so imagine that file with your name on the, and then another file, all the things that Jesus ever has done wrong, which would be nothing. But it's filled also with all the things that Jesus ever has done right, being willing, faithful to God, obedient to him all the time, suffering tremendous situations, all the good he's done. And what happens on the cross, over that name gets written on Jesus' file, the covers swap, so that we stand before God because of everything that haven't done wrong taken care of, but he looks on us and sees everything that Jesus has done right, and it gets counted as if we've done it. And Jesus takes every single thing we've ever done wrong and failed, and he takes it on the cross, and God's judgment and wrath poured out on him. And so we have the sweet exchange. We stand before God, and it seems absolutely scandalous to say that not only are we our sin has been dealt with, but we stand perfect like Jesus in his sight. And that's what one theologian called the change, the swap. So we stand on level ground, but we stand before God blameless in Christ. So we can pray that prayer. So this morning, we want to take sin seriously. We're not saying sin doesn't matter, but we rejoice in our righteousness, our given righteousness. We can walk out of there without the weight on our shoulders. There might be things that your family haven't forgiven you, but if you've spoken to God about it, you are forgiven. If we strive to be blameless, maybe it's a crime that we committed or some infringement. We strive to have authorities, and we strive to be blameless. We are counted. So we are counted blameless. I have at home. I don't know if what you're wearing. You look smart. Go off and start painting the garden gate when I got home, dressed as I am. It'd be absolute disaster. I get paint everywhere. I even got paint in the back of my head the one time. These are my smarter clothes. But I'm sure you've got a pair of trousers, outfit at home, that's your comfy clothes. Doesn't matter what happens with them. You can go and paint the garden gate. It doesn't matter if you spill a bit of oil on them. It's okay. I remember going to, I think it was 12, a party at a friend's house. It was just a boys' party. So it was crazy. And what had happened was, this friend of mine lived near quite a steep bank, and they were building a house just dumping all the soil. So yeah, you had this bank, but now it was, instead of bushes and everything, it was just a nice long thing of soil about this steep. And we started off sliding on with boxes, and eventually, you know, I was just sliding on our shorts, going all the way down. And I got home, and Mum was absolutely devastated. Here she was a widow. I had one pair of smart party trousers, and they were now destroyed with holes and sliding down on them. I shouldn't have done that. But I have got that pair of comfy pants or those comfy clothes that you can do that with. Let me say, that's what it means to be a Christian. It's comfort. There's no weight on you. You've been given righteousness. You're free to love God. See, if you have to love God by following a certain bunch of rules, acceptable, you're actually doing that for yourself. It's like keeping the law. You know, you do that so that the police don't fine you. But Christianity is a relationship. You totally love no matter what. You take sin seriously, but you accept it no matter what you've done. Handless, but it's grace. So we don't want to be people that say, oh, sin doesn't matter. We take sin incredibly seriously. But thanks be to God that God has taken that sin so seriously that we as Christians can be counted blameless. And that frees us up to love Him. It's comfortable. The psalm is saying, integrity in the past, integrity in the future. Keep going. Keep plodding along, knowing that there's a... try and go out and saying this week, just saying to yourself, that weight of judgment is off my shoulders. There's stuff that I can't forgive myself for, but God has. That's how powerful the cross is. The cross is big enough to do that, to be blameless. And I just want to say, keep going. One of the things I used to do before I was married in South Africa is got into hiking, and we would go up the Drakensberg mountain range, which is about 3,000 kilometers above sea level, and great walks. But let's just put it this way. If you look at me, you can see I took a lot up the mountain more than most people. And so climbing up there was hard work, especially with some of these younger guys that have been doing it for ages. But my secret was my hat. Okay, I had this sort of, I was trying to find it to bring it, but I couldn't find it. But the kind of thing you'd imagine corks hanging off, but not hard, just flop. It was just a sun hat. But what I would do with it was I wouldn't look up to the top of the mountain. I would just keep it down and look at the first few steps in front of me, just so I could do those steps. And that's a Christian life. Just keep going, knowing that you're blameless, you've been forgiven. You want to take sin seriously. We want to be aware of it. We want to be on our guard. But it's not something that's going to derail your relationship with God. It's not something that's counted against you. And let me say this, it's not human forgiveness. Maybe I'm sharing too much here. But I know when my wife got our new car, this ages ago, reversed into a gate and it scratched on the side. I was really good in forgiving with her because I was about to mess up probably in the next few weeks. And I thought, if I'm good with her, then maybe she'll be good with me. And often with forgiveness, we're a bit like that. But God is saying, what? It's dealt with. It's been paid for. So remember the comfy pants. You've got a right relationship with God. Remember the floppy hat. Just keep going. And knowing that there's a weight off your shoulders, it's by grace that we've been saved. That will help us fight sin and keep going. That will help us to fight sin out of love for God, not we're fearful of His judgment. And let me say to you, if you're not a Christian this morning, this might seem like absolute rubbish. But let me say that Christianity is different from every other religion because it's saying what you have to do. And Christianity says, no, I know you can't do it. It's done. You see me say this religion, and all religions will agree with it, you know, its rules, is doubly cruel. And Christianity can be turned into religion. It raises us to the meat and then condemns you for not meeting it. Jesus comes to you and says, I know you can't meet it. In fact, probably my righteousness is bigger than you ever thought. There's no way on earth you can meet it. That's why I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to go to the cross willingly so that you can pray. Psalm 26. It was prayed by a king looking forward to the king that would fulfill it, Jesus Christ, so that we can look back and know our sin has been paid for. We are people that are forgiven. We don't deserve it. But it's called grace. And that hopefully will keep you going. And so let's pray that we keep persevering, knowing that whether you are blameless in God's sight, not taking sin lightly, but rejoicing in the fact that it has been dealt with. Amen.